Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's lovely to have the sun shining in through the windows, and it certainly feels warmer on this side than it does on the other. Just a few announcements this morning. Just a quick reminder that for any of the women who are attending the Wings Retreat at the Slieve Donard in January, the balance of payment is due by Sunday, the 3rd of November. Please see any of the Wings committee members if this isn't going to work for you. Or indeed, there are a very few places available if anyone else would like to go. And as I said in Clochy, unfortunately, gentlemen, we're not invited, so there we go. The other announcement this morning is the Tier Fund quiz. Really just a bit of a heads up that on Saturday the 16th of November, 7 o'clock in the evening, we're having the Tier Fund table quiz here in the hall, church hall. Can I just really recommend that? It's a really enjoyable evening. Certainly last year, there was one of the answers I got right. I came away feeling really good about myself. But it's a good evening's crack, and it's a superb evening in that it raises money for our mission group for Tier Fund. So just keep your eyes out, folks. There'll be a wee bit of a video on next week about that, but put it in your diaries, and I'll encourage everybody to come along. Thank you. And this is where I go for the glasses because I'm getting to that stage. Okay, folks, a call to worship this morning. I'd like to read a few verses from the start of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And as we come to worship this morning, we join in our first item of praise, Amazing Love.
The guilty one.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the opportunity to meet together this morning, for the opportunity to meet as your people, and for the opportunity you give us to come into your presence. We give thanks that you are the all-powerful God who protects and who delivers his judgment. You do not need us for anything, but you choose us for every good thing. We give thanks that even though we have chosen to separate ourselves from you through sin, you have given us the opportunity to draw close and to enter into your presence in this life and for an eternity with you. Lord God, we confess that we fail to approach you and that we make a choice not to draw into your presence. We allow the world to take away our time and to fill our minds with distractions when we should dedicate and set aside time and empty our minds from all the things of this world. We confess that we do not know you as we would want to know you or as we should know you. Forgive us and build in us the desire to be with you, to be filled by you, to be fully trusting and fully consumed by you and your glory. Lord God, we ask that as we approach you, we will receive your blessing in all things. But most of all, we ask that we will receive the blessing of being in your presence. We thank you that you are willing to forgive and that your Son Jesus paid the price for our sin and that through your grace, that is sufficient. We give thanks that you, the Holy One, are here, right now. We give thanks that you are waiting on each one of us approaching you, right now, to enter into your presence. Take away all those things that crowd in on us. Take away our fears and fill those voids with your Spirit. Lord God, we ask that you will give Alan the words this morning that you want him to share, and that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you are saying through him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We join for our second piece of praise this morning. Be still for the presence of the Lord.
Come, thou be born in night. Good morning. We're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. That's page 309. The ark brought to Jerusalem. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out to Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of David brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. We're now going to receive the offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we ask that you would take these gifts, that you would use them in this place for the furtherance of your kingdom here and elsewhere in the world. We just ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're now going to sing My God Is So Big, and after that the kids are going to go for to K4C. So My God Is So Big. If you know the actions, work away, okay? Don't look at me, all right? We're going to pray now for others. In a week where there has been a lot of darkness, such a contrast with a beautiful sunny morning like this morning, there has been so much darkness in the news. New laws that sadden us. Many lives lost in a truck trailer. Exploitation, political upheaval, such darkness. But in 1 John 1, verse 5, we read, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We're also going to pray for our young people who are away at the Mad Weekend, that wonderful PCI event in Coleraine. You know, they're going to be utterly shattered at this stage. They really are. So the last worship session is this morning. Then they'll have a bit of lunch and then it'll be in the bus on the way home. So we'll just remember them in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you. You are a God of light. In you there is no darkness at all. We read in your word that you created light, and it was good. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, offering a beacon of hope in this dark, fallen world. Thank you, Father, that we can turn to you, that you are a God of love, that you are in control. Lord, we bring all those affected by the loss of life in that truck trailer. Lord, comfort bereaved families. Comfort families who don't know if their loved ones were in that trailer or not. Be with the police, ambulance crews, forensic scientists, those who have to perform postmortems. Lord, we pray that your people will stand against human trafficking. We pray that all people would respect human life. Help us to declare that we are all your children, that you love each one of us equally. Lord, we pray for all those who are in authority over us. Give them wisdom, we pray. We pray that they would seek you as important decisions have to be made. We especially pray for those in government who know you. We pray that you will give them courage to show their faith in action. Father, we ask that you will bless Neil as he takes a break. Thank you, Lord, for his ministry. Bless him and Ruth as they take time off. Bless Jack and Archie at the Mad Weekend. Bless all our young people at that event. We pray that they will travel back in safety. We pray that the message that they have heard will take root and grow. Protect that message, we pray, as they come back into what they face day to day. Lord, we bring those to you who are unwell at present, those who cannot come out to worship with us. Bring them healing, comfort. Put your loving arms around them and those who care for them, that they will experience a real sense of your presence and peace. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The title for this message this morning is An Awareness of God's Presence. So I'd invite you to turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. The mere mention of the Ark of the Covenant, perhaps evokes images of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford, Hollywood at its best. The reality is that the Ark was a very important part of the furnishings of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a portable structure moved from place to place with the Israelites as they traveled in the Sinai Desert in the wilderness. The word tabernacle literally means dwelling place, the place where God chose to dwell amongst his people. The symbolism of God's redemptive covenant was preserved in the tabernacle. Items including the Ark of the Covenant, an incense altar, a lampstand, a table, all these items were overlaid with gold, and there was a large bronze altar. All these things were object lessons for the worshipper. In Exodus 25, verses 10 to 22, there is a precise description of how the ark was to be made. It was to be made using acacia wood overlaid with gold. There was to be a special lid on it. Four gold rings, one at each corner, into which two large wooden poles overlaid with gold were slid through the rings so that the ark could be carried. The ark, we're given a good description of the size of the ark. The measurements are given in cubits. So I looked that up, and a cubit is 45 centimeters, which is something like that. I'm sort of imperial, really, but it's 1 foot 6 inches, whatever way you like. So it was roughly that long, about that deep, and about that wide. On the top were two winged cherubim, facing each other with their wings drawn like that, symbolizing extreme reverence. The ark contained two tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written. And when you look at the list of contents in the tabernacle, the ark is always mentioned first, as it symbolized the throne of God, a visual reminder of God's presence. Even the Philistines, the enemy, knew about the significance of the ark. And so they captured it, and it remained with the Philistines for 7 months. But that was not God's plan. The Philistines were plagued by God with terrible tumors as a punishment, and they were driven to the point of returning the ark. En route, we read in 1 Samuel 6, verse 19, that 70 men in a place called Beth Shemesh were struck down by God for daring to lift the cover and looking inside the ark. Ultimately, the ark was returned to God's chosen people. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 2, we read that the ark of the covenant was left in the house of Abinadab, guarded by his son Eleazar, for 20 years. Abinadab was present. He was about for the first 13 years or so. But then he was killed on the battlefield with Saul. We can read about that in 1 Samuel 6, 21. You can read all these accounts in 1 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles. I hope that sets a context for the reading this morning. So let's have a little look at some of the characters and see what can we learn, can we relate to these people. Firstly, David, God's chosen king, a great warrior, leader, musician, poet, a man who had a real awareness of God's presence. David's line led to Jesus. But what can we learn about David in this passage this morning? Well, he understood that God's plan was that the Ark of the Covenant must be brought back to Jerusalem. Verse 1, he leads 30,000 men to collect the Ark from the house of Abinadab. What an amazing sight it must have been. All those people praising, singing. Verse 5, David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might. before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. But then, disaster! An ox stumbles. One of the Levites, a man called Uzzah, reaches out to stop the ark from falling off the cart, and he is struck down. He is killed by God. Panic sets in, and David gets very angry. But note that he is angered by God's treatment of Uzzah. Verse 9, David, afraid of God, gets exasperated and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" Is David thinking about himself or God's people? I wonder if he's asking himself about the wisdom about putting the ark on a cart. If we look at 1 Samuel 6:10, we see that the Philistines used a cart. Maybe David should have done better. What about the golden poles and the four rings that the ark could have been carried reverently with real safety? Does he feel that he has let God down? After 3 months, he gets to hear of all the blessing Obed-Edom is receiving. What a blessing it must have been to shake David to his senses. David has had 3 months to simmer down, to focus, and to review before God what he needed to do. He needed to adopt the role as leader again and go back to collect the ark. This time, it is different. This time, a sacrifice is made after only 6 steps have been made. Ultimately, the ark is brought to a special tent, which David has prepared. Verses 16 and 17. This time, David makes burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. This time, David, a man who knows that God is a God of new beginnings, a God of forgiveness. This time, David, so caught up in praise and worship that he is dancing and singing without a care what people thought or said. The second character we're going to look at is Uzzah. Would we be tempted into thinking, poor chap, to die like that? Sure, he was only trying to help. He was trying to prevent the shame of the Ark of the Covenant being damaged, hitting the ground. Sure, he did not realize the consequences of his actions. He was the victim of a road pothole incident. No, we cannot consider Uzzah in that light. We know from God's word that Uzzah was a Levite, a man of the tribe of Levi, from whom were selected assistants for the temple priests. A special role. He knew the rules concerning the ark. We know that Uzzah was chosen to play a key role in this great procession with his brother Ahio. 30,000 men were there, but he was one of 2 chosen in that role. He was the son of Abinadab. He grew up with the ark in his father's house. No excuses. He rebelled against God. He broke the rules God had made by not treating the Ark of the Covenant with reverence. He knew that the Ark represented the throne of Almighty God. He sinned against God. Uzzah was responsible, as we are, for our actions before God. Romans 6, verse 23 reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The third character we're going to look at is Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Obed-Edom, whose name means servant of Edom. Can you imagine Obed, a farmer living well outside Jerusalem? His house was probably a reasonable size because it was chosen for this purpose. He lived near a road of some description, a road full of potholes, as it happens. Maybe we can relate to that, I don't know. A knock on the door. A royal official standing there. Perhaps King David himself. Then that question: "Can you look after the Ark of the Covenant, please?" Or perhaps he'd seen this great procession coming, the dust rising, and had witnessed the spectacular judgment of Uzzah. To now to be thrust into this situation without warning and being asked to be the guardian of the Ark. "Your Majesty, me? I'm not worthy to do such a task. What if I get it wrong? Will I suffer the same fate as Uzzah? What about my family, my friends? Oh, my house is not grand enough." But Obed was God's man for the job, and he was obedient to the call to serve. Obed was prepared to put it all on the line and fully rely on God's grace. The Ark was with Obed-Edom and his family for 3 months, and the result was a huge blessing. 3 months only. Should the Ark have been in Abinadab's house for over 20 years? The blessing Obed received was so huge that David got to hear about it all those miles away. So much blessing that David, the king, was shaken to his senses. I think it's good that we are not told in God's word what exactly that blessing entailed. It may have been financial. Perhaps his business prospered. Maybe his health greatly improved. Maybe where there had been disunity in his family, maybe there was unity. Maybe peace in his area. Better neighborly relations. We don't know. But clearly, this time in Obed's life was very important, because Obed was transformed as he spent time reverently, quietly before the Ark, the representation of God's throne. Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." worshipping God with reverence, obedience with a servant heart. This changed Obed's life. When the 3 months was over, I believe he missed the special time communing with God, because we see Obed-Edom again listed in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 15 to 18. He's listed as a gatekeeper near the Ark of the Covenant, the temple. He's also listed as one of the musicians in the temple. And then later again, he served in the temple treasury. At this point, serving God, having left his home, but he realized he needed a constant awareness of God's presence in his life. So, how can we relate to these characters from all these years ago? Uzzah, a man who practiced religion, going through the motions. What was his motivation? Status? Tradition? A man who paid a terrible price without warning for angering and rebelling against God. If you are under the misguided idea that you are in control, you may not get a warning either. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you realize that you're rebelling against God and are being convicted of your sin, sort it out now with the Lord. Don't put off the opportunity to repent, to ask Jesus into your life, to accept the free gift of salvation through grace. There are folk here, prayer minister team, elders, others, who would love to talk with you and pray with you. David, God's man, the apple of God's eye, he loved and he served the Lord. But he did not get it right all the time. He sinned against God, but he repented and sought forgiveness. He understood grace, God's love in action. You know, we can, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can identify with King David. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is us as believers, God's special possession. Obed-Edom, servant, the person behind the scenes, accepting the gift of grace. Do we identify with Obed? Obediently doing whatever God calls us to do. Spending time in prayer. Listening to God. Worshipping. Reading God's word. Letting it sink in. Let it soak into the very core of our life. And seeking to go deeper with God. As we, a welcoming, Christ-centered and spirit-filled church, worshipping and serving God in the community, must, as all those who love the Lord, answer God's call to go and make disciples of all nations. You know, God does not need us, but he chooses to use us. Let us all strive to get to know God a little better, to seek his will for our lives, to faithfully serve him. We're now going to continue to worship God as we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.